7 o'clock hour of Wildy and Sylvie, as opposed to Waddle and Sylvie, or Wildy and Tausch, begins, and it begins with the Packers running some routes on air, their wide receivers and tight ends, as training camp practice number 8 is underway. Well, speaking of wide receivers and tight ends, Sylvie, I wanted to circle back to the topic that I passed on during Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank, and that is this number one versus not having a number one. And I'm curious about your perspective, because the Bears may have a better group. Packers fans aren't going to want to hear that, but they certainly have more guys that have conclusive evidence of how good they are. Now, they're also older, especially in the case of Keenan Allen, so we'll see what he provides for them. But you know, you draft a wide receiver very high in the top 10. You obviously add DJ Moore and now pay him. When you look at the Bears' skill position players and compare them to what you saw from the Packers with Christian Watson and Romeo Dobbs and Jaden Reed, a Chicago native, and Dontavian Wicks, who everyone's excited about. And then, look, I was talking to several of these guys yesterday in the locker room. There's some other pretty darn good football players that don't get as much run at wide receiver. Bo Melton, who had a 100-yard game against the Vikings, became the first 100-yard receiver of the season for them last year. When you look at what you know about the Bears, who you pay very close attention to, and what you've seen from the Packers, who you behind enemy lines are interested in, how do you kind of view those two as they compare in terms of skill position guys?
Well, I think the quarterback makes the skill guys. So I think a lot of times wide receivers develop into number one receivers or like 1A guys if the quarterback and line and play caller are all meshing. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many guys under Aaron Rodgers before Devontae Adams would have been number one guys in other offenses if they didn't develop under Aaron Rodgers?
That is, you know, I've thought about that. That is such a hard question to answer, right? Like, I don't want to downgrade guys for playing with Aaron Rodgers, because everyone loved the narrative of, well, Rodgers makes all these guys better. He's never had a first-round wide receiver, right? That was one of their favorites. But Ted Thompson had a great track record of drafting wide receivers in the second round. Jordy right. Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams. So that kind of mitigated that. Here's my thing. What I think is interesting about the Packers is that for so long, and Jesse's heard me say this before, as have our fans, like, there was always a line of succession for the number one wide receiver, right? When you were starting out in your journalism career, fresh-faced out of Southern Illinois University and covering those Jordan second half of the six championships Bulls teams, you know, the Packers had Sterling Sharp, right? And he was mm-hmm. the crutch that Brett Favre leaned on. Then he has the neck injury. His career ends. And the very next season in 95, Robert Brooks steps in, former third-round pick, and catches over 100 balls, has 1,400 yards, and he's a clear-cut number one with Favre. And then, obviously, he suffers an injury during the 96 season. They kind of cobble together a group. And then Antonio Freeman becomes their number one receiver. And then after Antonio Freeman, it's Donald Driver. And then after Donald Driver, it's Greg Jennings. And then after Greg Jennings, it's Jordy Nelson. And then after Jordy Nelson, it's Devontae Adams. And the problem, at least as I see it, is that then they kind of neglected the position, and there was no one ready to ascend when they traded away Devontae Adams to the Raiders. And so now they find themselves in this situation. I do feel like Packers fans love to, like, make a negative a positive by putting it as, oh, it's great that we don't have a number one, clear-cut number one wide receiver. That's a great thing, because you don't know who he's going to throw to. Well, when Aaron Rodgers was having that first MVP season in 2011, you also didn't know who he was going to throw to, but you had Greg Jennings, who had proven himself to be a number one receiver, and you had Jordy Nelson ascending to become a number one wide receiver. So I'm really eager to see this season if someone ascends to be the clear-cut guy, whether that's Jaden Reed or someone else. And that's my struggle, Sylvie, is that I feel like there are Packers fans who don't want that to happen. Well, they just want everybody to be kind of on the same plane.
Yeah, yeah, and of course you want that. And again, like, I see, I'm coming at this from the other side. I'm coming at this, I live on the other side of the tracks, if you will. You know, and I've always said this, I always said to you guys, and I thought it was going to happen, and I've got to wear it, I always thought you guys were going to find out what life is like for most of the NFL teams. That it's not so easy to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, that you're going to now pay the piper of those two, and you don't get three. There's no way you get three. Maybe you get two, you don't get three. Now you may have three. And a lot of times you create these false narratives with rich people problems where, well, Rodgers zeroed in too much on Davante Adams and he didn't spread the ball around. Take it from somebody who doesn't have any. It didn't have any wide receivers, you know, and was that due because the quarterback was never good? Again, if the quarterback is good, the other wide receiver should follow. Yes, there will be a bust or two along the way. We'll see. But I think the deeper you are, and if even if there's a one and he's the true number one, having a one is still a great thing. So I think there's many ways to skin the cat, Wildy. Like, you've seen it with Mahomes, where he had a loaded wide receiver room, and they got rid of Tyreek Hill. But then, you know, he had a limited wide receiver room, and they still won a Super Bowl. But what did he always had? He always had the dependable guy in Kelsey that he knew he could get the football to. So you still, you've got to have great quarterback play, good line play, and you've got to have wide receivers the quarterback's going to trust.
So when you look back on your time covering, watching, rooting for the Bears, do you believe they had number one caliber wide receivers who just never became, like Allen Robinson, whoever you want to put in that category, that had they been with a quarterback of greater quality, we would have seen them as being much better players than they were viewed as?
Sure, sure. And Allen Robinson, think about who he played with, Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky, and he still put up really good numbers. And his quarterback at Penn State was what's-his-name, who turned out to be a bust in the NFL. I bet you pull his name. Because you're good at the random names. Do you remember the
Jets guy? Yeah, what was his name?
Dilfer thought he was going to be good, but that's neither here nor there. So, like, for instance, if Curtis Conway had more dependable quarterbacks when he was with the Bears, if he was a Packer and he was with Favre at the time, I think he would have been a stud. But I also think they've missed on a lot of wide receivers, drafting David Terrell very early, drafting Kevin White very early. Those guys with star quarterbacks probably wouldn't have been good either. So I do think there's a fine line with a lot of it, but I also think the quarterback can make good wide receivers. You have to be good. Good wide receivers, great.
You know, and I saw a tweet from our most valuable tweeter, Matt Coonan, who said when I was talking about Love and Williams being simultaneously good, that he didn't think that there was a shortage of compelling stories. There's not. That's not what this is about for me, and that irritated me, quite frankly, Matt, because the Bears-Packers week are different weeks than the other 18 weeks of the season, including the bye. And so if you look at the compelling stories on this team, one of them obviously will be the defense. And how good is it? Because there are rave reviews right now, but that's during the time of the year when there's lots of rave reviews, right? Let's see what happens when they start playing real games. But you hear Jordan Love talk about it. You hear other offensive players talk about how good this defense is and how disruptive it is. If they're able to do that in real games, that's a very compelling storyline. But to me, the other compelling storyline is just how is this wide receiver group going to differentiate itself, separate itself, or not separate itself? Are they just going to be We've got our fantasy football draft coming up tomorrow night at Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. I'm not good at fantasy football. I've never been good at fantasy football. My favorite story about fantasy football is when a friend from high school was trying to pick which running back she should play one week, and she had a choice between two running backs, and one was Amon Green. He was playing the Lions that week, and I said, I would take Amon Green. He's usually pretty productive against the Lions, and he was, except her other running back was Jamal Lewis, who set the single game rushing record in that week. So I don't claim to know what I'm doing when it comes to fantasy football, but my gut would tell me that the Packers are not the kind of team that you want to be drafting wide receivers and tight ends from right now, because you have no idea from week to week who the guy is going to be. So is that going to serve fantasy owners poorly, but the Packers extremely well? I don't know. That's one of the things that I can't wait to find out this season is, does a healthy Christian Watson become the guy that Mark Tauscher believed would someday be on the cover of Madden? Does perpetually underappreciated Romeo Doubs become a guy that's the clear-cut number one who works out with Jordan Love all offseason long and they have a different level of connectivity? Is it Jaden Reed, who between him and Wicks, spent 3 months together in Florida working out together, and both of them have kind of the upward trajectory of these guys could be both number one wide receivers? Those are the kinds of things that I do look forward to this season, but I still think that you are better off with someone emerging as so good that they are the clear-cut one. So sometimes they are making plays that only number one wide receivers make, and at other times they're drawing so much attention that they make the rest of the guys' lives so much easier. Yeah, and if the Packers have a guy that does that, they will be better off, in my opinion.
How could you argue if one of those guys establishes themselves as an alpha? Like that, I don't understand that. I know that people like balance and that you could go to anybody at any time, but you also know that when it's nut cutting time, if I could say that, that you're going to get the football to this guy because he's going to get open and the quarterback trusts mm-hmm. him implicitly that he's going to get him the football no matter what. Like, that's something that I'm not an expert in because, quite frankly, we've never really had it, you know? So I'm just excited on this side of the fence now, finally, where, you know, DJ Moore was everything is advertised, and it's one of the best trades in Chicago sports history. They have DJ Moore now, who's a 1,200-yard guy. They have Keenan Allen, who's a guy, yes, older, but a guy that now Caleb Williams can lean on in important situations. And they've got the young guy who can grow with mm-hmm. Caleb Williams right from the start. So they've got guys in different stages of the career who could fit into the offense, and they're pretty deep at tight end too.
Yeah, and I would just say this. I think Packers fans, to some degree, have a fandom PTSD from the final play or the final offensive possession of the Packers' loss in the 2021 playoffs at home as the number one seed, when Aaron Rodgers has an open Alan Lazard underneath, and instead he forces a ball into double coverage to Davante Adams with the game on the line. And that perpetuated the narrative that he was too reliant on Davante Adams. If you look at the Packers wide receiver group during those years when Davante Adams was gobbling up 160 targets and had 100 and some catches each year, it was in large part because they had neglected the position and had not replenished it with talent. And they basically forced it to be the Rodgers and Adams show. And now, after using second, fourth, and seventh round picks at wide receiver in 2022, and second, fifth, and seventh round picks in 2023, and having hit on most of those, I mean, Grant DuBose is having a really good camp. Packers fans aren't too familiar with him, but he is another one of these guys that, hey, if he wasn't on a team with these four young guys that are kind of the clear-cut top four, there'd be a lot more excitement about him from fans that are coming to these practices. So they hit on those, and now they have options. The problem with Rodgers' reliance on Adams was that we saw Alan Lazard, and nobody loves Randall Cobb other than his wife more than me. And Randall Cobb wasn't the same player when they brought him back at Rodgers' behest, right? They missed on some of their draft picks when they did pick wide receivers in 18. So it's just a different dynamic now, and I am really eager to see how this plays out. All right, we need to get to Tausch telling us about AmFam and about Dream Drive.
He's not going to tell us about 2013 Penn State quarterback legend Christian Hackenberg, is he?
Yeah, Christian Hackenberg. Good call.
I don't know about that, but Romeo Doubs continues to, cook Jair Alexander in one-on-ones. He had his number yesterday, and he just beat him again on a slant from Love. And I don't think Jair is enjoying this. Jair did say yesterday the best wide receivers in the NFL, Davante Adams 1, Romeo Doubs 2. And a dime from Love to Jaden Reed against Keyshawn Nixon. The offense having its way during one-on-ones here for Packers practice. All right, we need to hear Tausch tell us about AmFam, and then we need to get to some other topics that I wanted to get to with Sylvie, because it's fun to have. I know there's a few YouTube commenters that don't want the Bears guy on our show, but I think this has been exquisite. And I look forward to more questions for Sylvie coming up next after Tausch tells us about AmFam. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Packer fans, Dream Drive is back. Come on down to Lambeau Field to kick off another year of big smiles in less than a mile. Little Packer fans can ride between Lambeau and training camp with their own bike or on one from the American Family Insurance fleet alongside of Packers players. American Family Insurance continues to support this heartwarming event, mobilizing the community to realize their dreams as they ride safe and protected. Join American Family Insurance for another historic year as we keep the tradition moving. Grab your wheels and let's ride, Green Bay. American Family Mutual Insurance, S&I, its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Ready to roll, ready to rock, ready to give it all I got. Got a little to wing it up, get it out, can't believe it. Ready to roll, ready to rock, ready to give it one more shot. Let the game begin, need something to believe it. Ready to
continuing with Sylvie, and as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better. All right, Sylvie, since everyone loves to talk about the Packers' approach to the quarterback position, how long do the Bears intend to have Tyler Bagent, or whatever the hell his
Bagent
name is, play quarterback and let, you know, Caleb Williams sit and watch and learn as he waits his turn to be the starting quarterback? What are they thinking, 2026?
Yeah, no, he's not sitting. I know, and I heard LaFleur say in the SportsCenter update a couple of times about guys sitting. I think there are many different ways you can do this. You know what I mean? Like, C.J. Stroud played and was very good.
Yeah, Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and guys, like, just because a guy started off the bat and was good, didn't mean that if he sat, he wouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are a lot of guys that if they would have started right out of the bat, sure, they would have growing pains. Like, Peyton Manning had growing pains in his first year, but it doesn't mean they wouldn't be good in the long term. So, I think there are many quarterbacks bust. Quarterbacks bust who sit for a couple of years. Quarterbacks bust who start right away. Now, that's something I can talk about. I can talk about, like, while I can't talk about wide receivers and knowing great wide receivers because we haven't had them, I'm an expert on quarterback busts. So I can tell you that they've tried everything. And you're going to bust, I believe, no matter what.
Well, and my pet peeve with this narrative, which I just think is preposterous, is the Packers were only able to do this because they had back-to-back quarterbacks that were Hall of Fame level players. So you drafted Rodgers, but you had Favre, even though he wasn't playing at the level you wanted him to in 05, you had him, And you will, that's what you didn't have. And again, I use Mitch Trubisky all the time. I don't know Mitch. I never covered him. You guys used to joke about how the Bears would have the, were watching the Son of a Mitch Bowl.
Right.
But the bottom line is that you weren't going to have Mitch Trubisky, who started for 1 year at North Carolina, sit. But you tried it. They tried it for, what, half a season, less than half a season?
Yeah, four games.
You're not going to have him sit behind Mike Glennon. It's different to have a first-round high pick sit behind Aaron Rodgers or behind Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs the 2 years after they drafted Jordan Love. That wasn't happening with Mike Glennon. And so this narrative that, oh, the Packers have it figured out and everyone should do this, no, that's not going to happen. Certainly not going to happen with Caleb Williams. I do wonder, though, what the tipping point is for giving guys a little bit of time to sit and learn as opposed to being thrown in. Because there is no doubt for every C.J. Stroud who plays well as a rookie or Justin Herbert who plays well as a rookie, there are lots of others that played poorly as rookies and never recovered. And so somewhere in between there is a happy medium, not necessarily with the number and overall pick, but with other young quarterbacks where you can say he would have really benefited. I'm sorry, I like Jordan Love a lot, but I think had he had a play right away, if Rodgers had forced a trade immediately after the draft, or forced a trade after the 2020 season, I think we're having a completely different conversation about Jordan Love.
This is
if he had a play in 21.
Oh, you think so? So you think right away that he doesn't pan out and they give up on him just because he doesn't show you right away that he's prepared to play?
Maybe they're patient enough, but I look at Mitch Trubisky and I ask myself, if Mitch Trubisky sits behind Aaron Rodgers the way Jordan Love did for three full years...
No, he's not good.
Okay, well, I would have liked to have at least lived in that... world to give him a chance, because he certainly didn't, he wasn't good enough based on how things played out, right?
This is the butterfly effect. What about if Patrick Mahomes ends up in Chicago and does the same route? This is what we always talk about. He sat for four games behind behind Mike Glennon, and he plays in the fifth game. Like, a lot of people, he never would have been what he is in Kansas City. Now, he wouldn't have had Andy Reid, but don't you think Patrick Mahomes would still be great?
He is. Yes. And I think Aaron Rodgers eventually becomes great, even if he doesn't sit behind Favre. With Love, I don't have enough evidence yet to say for certain that he's great either way. And I have last year's first half of the season to look at and say, look, he sat for 3 years and he still didn't play especially well, completing 57% of his passes in the first nine games, right? And I was at the practices in 2020 and 2021 when, this is not revisionist history like others like to do, when he didn't look very good.
Right.
He didn't.
I remember you told me that.
And I would also add this, and I'm not, in no way am I saying that Love is a product of Matt LaFleur's system, but he did come into a system that is very good at scheming guys open. And not a lot of, there are other systems that don't do that. And they make it even harder for a quarterback to succeed because they don't have that kind of intelligent design to give guys opportunities that.
And can I ask you a question about Love, or do we have to break right now?
We don't really pay attention to breaks around here. I don't know if you guys do in Chicago, but we don't.
Yeah, occasionally. This is good. I like this free flow. Yeah. So are there still fans, now that Jordan Love has gotten his deal and now that he is looking like he's going to be a great player, are there still fans who believe they should have used that first-round pick to feed that really good team under Aaron Rodgers? We were just having the conversation about wide receivers neglecting that spot. Should they have drafted a wide receiver at that number one draft pick spot where they took Jordan Love to fuel that team to try to win a championship at the end, which they did not do during Aaron Rodgers' MVP years? Or has this now panned out the way perfectly it went because Love is good? Or does that not get solved until Jordan Love wins a championship?
So I think I always like to say that fan bases are not a homogeneous group, right? Mm-hmm. There's all different factions, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a faction that is just so supportive of Brian Gutekunst that they think that everything he has done is largely right, and he's on par with Ted and with Ron Wolf as being such a fantastic GM. I'm not quite at that level. I think he's done some really, really smart things and drafted really well at times, and then he's had other uneven times, and every GM has that. I think there's also a faction that believes that you get the quarterback when you don't need him. You had Aaron Rodgers. You should have won a championship in 2020 or 2021, regardless of drafting Love, and that one player wouldn't have made that big of a difference. I think there is I think it's a smaller group, but I think there is a group that would say that if you have T. Higgins lining up opposite of Davante Adams in 2020 and 2021, even though Rodgers won MVPs both those years, that one player could be the difference between not scoring only, 10 points against the 49ers on that cold night at Lambeau when they got bounced as the number one seed, or it's the difference between them putting up more points against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in that 2020 NFC Championship game when they squandered, what did Brady throw, 3 picks in that game? Mm-hmm. And they got very few points off of it. So, again, none of us have Doc Brown's time machine to go back, but I know that there were reports at the time that the Packers' intention was to draft Brandon Ayuk. And then the 49ers literally traded up while the 25th pick was on the clock, got that pick, and picked Ayuk. Goody will never now, especially after the way Jordan Love has panned out, ever say, I was actually going to pick Ayuk. If they were both there, I was going to pick Ayuk. I don't know what you would have done. It doesn't help him to say, we just got lucky because had Ayuk and Love been there, I was taking Ayuk. But I do wonder with what Ayuk has now become, how things are different if that. I love the what if game.
That's the way. Right. I always talk about that too. So Kurt Warner, who obviously was a member of the Packers at one time, I think it was the third or fourth string quarterback, mm-hmm. had a workout scheduled with the Bears, where he was supposed to work out with them and he was on his honeymoon and he had to cancel it one time. And then the second time it came around, he had a spider bite or something from the honeymoon.
The honeymoon.
And again, had to cancel it and never ended up working out for the Bears and then became a Ram. If he signs and works out with the Bears and then signs, does he become great with the Bears? Or does he, you know what I mean? This is that butterfly effect that we're talking about with Mahomes becoming a Bear, Kurt Warner becoming a Bear, Brandon Ayuk becoming a Packer instead of Jordan Love, and how history would change.
Yeah, and Ron Wolf tells a great story about him being in camp and Mariucci wanting him to take some reps and Kurt Warner saying, no, I'm not ready. I don't want to go in.
Wow.
And he ends up being released shortly thereafter. And it was probably because of the way his life plays out, the best decision he could have made was saying that I'm not ready to go in. Don't put me in. I mean, that was when they had Favre, Brunel, and I think Detmer was the other quarterback. All those guys started games in the NFL. I love the Kurt Warner story, but it's kind of like what you're saying about Trubisky or whoever else, if he doesn't get the opportunity because of Trent Green getting hurt in a preseason game, we may never know how great he could have been. And instead, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. We need to get to Woe Nelly. Jesse always loves his airtime, even though it's been limited today. We'll get to that coming up next. The Packers still doing some 11-on-11 down at the far end, but it's hard to see from my vantage point. We'll talk more about practice, and we'll do Woe Nelly next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time for some 11-on-11 at my end of the field. It is Anthony Johnson again with the number one defense alongside Xavier McKinney. They're in the nickel now, so that has Keyshawn Nixon on the field. We'll see what Jordan Love and company can do against the number one defense, which has largely had its number for much of training camp, even since Jordan Love returned to action. In the meantime, it's time for Woe and Elliott.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Sounds windy out there, Jason. You got your bucket hat on today? You good?
I do not. I am standing behind that stanchion again to try and eliminate the wind. But I will say this. It's not that I don't care about the quality of the show. Okay, let me be very clear about that. But if it's a choice between 89 degrees on this rubbery surface that reflects heat and having a breeze that maybe makes it a little harder to hear me and not having a breeze, I'm taking the breeze. And you guys will have to figure out how to downplay the breeze sound in my headphones.
Whoa, Nelly!
Not a hot guy, as Sylvie said earlier.
He's not wrong.
So one big question I wanted to ask you today. We have a big ESPN Madison office watch party coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon for the Team USA men's basketball game against South Sudan. Now, here's the thing. I'm wearing a USA shirt, like we're all, you know, red, white, and blue, all that stuff's going on.
America.
South Sudan almost beat Team USA in the warm-up in Vegas. Pretty safe to say USA is probably going to win a medal. They're definitely the heavy favorites to win the gold. This is a qualifying game that will not make or break their Olympic run. Is it in poor taste, IPT, as Tausch would say, to cheer for South Sudan today?
What?
Like, I mean, this is like the Yankees playing against, like, the AA baseball team that's coming up for one, like, at the World Baseball Classic or whatever. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for South Sudan to try and get this massive upset win that they almost did in a warm-up. Team USA is not going to be made or broken by this game today. South Sudan, this would be life-changing for these athletes.
Here's what I did, guys. I'm not rooting for South Sudan all the way, but I did play. Waddle made fun of me. I am playing South Sudan plus 29.5.
All right.
So that all way, right. Like, I don't believe anymore, and they were like a 40-point dog the first time. It's come down 10 points. I don't believe Team USA is 30 points better than anybody anymore. You know, I still think they can win by that much, but I still think the international game has caught up. So it was down to the wire the first time, albeit it was an exhibition game. So I am taking the points, but I am rooting for Team USA, obviously, to win.
But, like, why? Just because it's Team USA? Like, if this was any other, if this was March Madness, this is...
Why do you root for the Brewers?
This is Kansas against Southeast Missouri State. Everyone's cheering.
Why do you root for the Brewers?
Because they're the hometown team, and also
you live there. You live in the United States.
And what we have going for us up here, Sylvie, is the Brewers, the Packers, the Bucks. It's small market. We're always upset minded. We want to take down the large market juggernauts like New York and L.A. and Chicago and Dallas. Like, that's part of the being a fan up here. You don't understand that down where
Jesse, if you lived in New York, you would not be rooting for the Packers. You would be a Giants or a Jets fan.
More significantly, you just used, all right, so it's like Kansas, the number one seed against the 16, and you root for the 16
seed. Everybody roots for the 16.
Not if you're a Kansas alum.
Right.
I bet even Kansas alums would want a good game until halftime.
Right, but you live in the United States. You're an American citizen. As far as I know, I haven't checked your immigration status. But the bottom line is that no one roots against their alma mater against a low seed in the tournament. And so no one is rooting. I mean, this is I want to give you credit. This is a really interesting question. But the bottom line is that this is a totally different deal, because in the NCAA tournament, if your alma mater is playing a 16 seed and it loses, their tournament is over. In this instance, the U.S. will still advance to the medal round. So that's why you at least can do this, even though it sounds kind of asinine.
Didn't Tony Bennett say he was happy for UMBC when they beat Virginia?
Well, Of course, because he's a good human being. Do you think he's happy that his team lost to them, though?
Well, they won the chip the year later. It's fine.
Yeah, he didn't.
I think
know
a better question
happen.
Is: are you rooting for Greece because you're a Giannis fan over the
Great
United
question.
States?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
So you want him to beat the Americans?
I want Giannis to go win a gold medal. Yeah, like Team USA can win a gold medal anytime.
Oh, stop!
I don't think there's any Bucks player on Team USA this year, right? So if there's no Bucks player on the team, it's like the All Star team. It's the Monstars taking
Drew
on
Holiday.
The rest of the world.
Monstars.
It's a much better story for anyone else in the world to win a gold medal than Team USA.
You don't like Drew Holiday anymore because he's a Celtic?
Well, Jason does.
Benedict Drew.
Yeah,
Jesse will say. I love Drew Holiday. He's
we
a
always
fantastic human being.
If Dame doesn't get the Bucks to at least an Eastern Conference final, I think we all want Drew back. That's a different story entirely as well.
Yeah, great play.
That did not work out well. All right, we need to. We do have one clock issue that we have to worry about, and that is ending the show on time. So as much as I'd love to have this conversation go longer, we'll wrap things up with Sylvie, our cousin, sub of the day next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The future is bright with QB1 in Titletown.
Is there a monkey on Jordan Love's back now? Where he's like, well, I'm the highest paid quarterback. I got to play like it. I got to act like it.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN. Because I'm a hazard to my.
Reduced use of Twitter has prevented me from being in the algorithm to get as many votes as I'd like in our polls. But at Sylvie's behest, as a Packers fan, are you nervous about the Bears being good? Nope, not at all. 74%. Yes, I can't lie, I am. 26%. Sylvie, as our guest and our cousin sub, you get the last word today.
It was a lot of fun, and I hope the rivalry is a good one this year, even though that's not something I wish for. But I hope, I hope the games are better, and I hope the Bears get one.
Can't wait. I can't wait for a whole decade of Love versus Caleb Williams and both being good and you realizing that I was right and you were wrong. That's it for us today. I look forward to my next appearance on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Say hi to Craig Council for us.
That's it for us. Packers practice continues. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.